Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Okay, we're good to go. I'm getting the thumbs up from the tech guy. Good morning, church. It is great to see you all here this beautiful summer morning. It is almost summer, right? And they're teasing us a little bit with this weather, but we're going to get there. I have confidence. My name is Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon that worships and participates in ministry and mission with all of you here today. Thank you for being here. I want to thank the folks online as well, and hope that they have a good experience of worship today and something in our words and song touches your hearts this day. We have connection cards inside your bulletin. This is a church that wants to know God. Excellent. John's giving a thumbs up here. There are plenty of ways to get involved in mission and ministry here. Lots of opportunities. We're going to talk about a couple today. But also, our hope is that you find a place in this church where you can find fellowship and support for you in your spiritual journey. There are also prayer cards in the pew backs. They are bright yellow, hard to miss. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment and fill that out. The clergy staff, as well as our prayer group, will address those prayers, and hopefully we will know how we can help you best. Today in worship, and nobody's sitting up front, I don't know where everybody went. Bruce Stark is going to be with us today, and Liz Hoover. So I see Liz lined up with the choir back there, so I feel better. If you haven't already made your way to Sunday school with your child or to the nursery with your infant, please know that those options are available at this time. So I have a few announcements to make. The first one is hopefully going to come up on the screen. Yeah, Disciple Bible Study. It will be a repeat of the Old Testament class. They will meet on Tuesdays starting September 9th. It will be Bruce Stark and Pam Comer will be leading that group together. I just finished leading a group in that, and it was very well received. I think you will have a great time, learn a lot. We don't always know as much about the Old Testament as we do the New Testament, so it'll be a chance for you to dive in there and get some insights as to where our scriptures started from. The Memorial Garden is looking for volunteers. No experience necessary. They let me help every once in a while. I don't know a weed from a flower, but somebody tells me and I can do it. So please consider working in the Memorial Garden. It's a commitment of about 3 to 4 hours a month. They meet, they go out, they work in the garden. I need you to know that the people who come for the internments, for people who come to find a quiet place, that garden is a very special place. And so we appreciate all the work of the committee that keeps it looking so nice and makes it such a peaceful environment. On June 28th, the Habitat for Humanity group will be working and looking for volunteers. No experience necessary. I just found out they even have tools and things. You don't have to bring your own stuff. Just show up and they'll find a job for you. It is a way to help someone find their forever home. And on July 3rd will be the fireworks at the Whitmore Lake campus. We'll be parking in the parking lot. Come early, find a spot. It's a great fellowship time before the fireworks start, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. There is a rain date of July 4th, I believe, if that doesn't work. So at this time, finishing the announcements, I'd like to invite you all to please rise as you are able. And we are going to do a call to worship. We haven't done one of these in a while, and Pastor John asked me to go for it. So please rise. Your parts will be on the screen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Our
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. May we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive a Holy Spirit in this place. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy Spirit, you are God. Thank you for living in my heart and working in my life. You know my pain and anxieties, and you are an ever-present comfort, renewing my dead spirit. You know my imperfections, and yet you continually surround me with your love. Help me to walk in your ways, spreading the love of Christ through the Holy Spirit living in me. Amen. Please be seated.
Spirit of gentleness, Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning, church. I don't know about you, but it took me to the third time through the chorus to finally pick up on where that rest is on the spirit piece. So if you came in with me and you were proactive, God bless you for coming in early. I'm with you. I'm ready this morning. So this morning, we are celebrating our teachers, and we just want to take a moment to express our deep appreciation for all that you've done over the course of the last year. So if you're a teacher that is engaged in the work of educating disciples of Jesus Christ over the last year in the preschool or in Sunday school or in the children's time during the 11 o'clock service, if you help out with youth ministry, if you teach a small group full of adults, if you bring in your community group into the church and you teach a book study within this space, you are welcome to come forward. So I want to invite you to do that. If you're able to move to the front of the sanctuary here, we just want to recognize and express our appreciation for all that you've done here in the church during this time. I'm going to invite everyone here in the church to join with me in this liturgy. The words will be on the screen. We give thanks for teachers who work with preschoolers, elementary kids, and teenagers. We give thanks for teachers who work with young adults, and seniors. We give thanks for the time teachers share, the lessons they plan, the activities they present, the conversations that they facilitate. We give thanks for the extra mile they go, the curiosity they instill in their students, and the gifts they give. Today, we give thanks for teachers who work with children and youth, those who work with young adults, and seniors, those who work inside the classrooms of schools, and those who work inside the classrooms of our church buildings. Thank you for the lives you impact, the seeds you plant, and the disciples you are making. In thanks and gratitude, we celebrate teachers. Thank you to those who mentor, lead, guide, and disciple. I want to invite you to join me in recognizing all of these folks and others who can't be with us today who help us make disciples of Jesus Christ to transform the world. Will you join me in appreciating them for their work? Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it. Thanks, Ariel. Thanks, Tim. Yeah. Thanks so much. Anxious about coming up front before the church, but you want a carnation, please know we have more than enough for all of you, so feel free to grab one. That would have been me, by the way. I would have been sitting in the pew like, I don't know if I should go forward. Thank you. And also this, a moment like this is a reminder of how many people it takes to make a disciple of Jesus, a whole community. And so I want to invite you to take a moment and maybe reflect on somebody who helped make you into the person that you are today. Maybe it was a teacher in school, maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or a youth group volunteer. I hope there's somebody in your life that shaped and formed you. And in this moment, I encourage you to just take a moment, maybe sometime the next week, to write them a note, to let them know how much it meant to them. If they're no longer with us, I pray that those words will transfer to them in some way that passes all of our understandings. Thanks be to God that we're all surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.
I'd like to add my thanks to all the teachers and people who are so patient with other people. I used to want to be one of those people, but I found out I'm not. That's not going to happen. But I did learn from the Bible that the arm cannot be jealous of the leg, and the eye cannot be envious of the ear. We're all different parts of the whole, so I'm okay with being able to read. Although I had to ask Donna how to pronounce some of these words today. So we'll see if I got it right. The scripture reading today is Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from the heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" This is where I needed help. "Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's power and deeds." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They were filled with a new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they too shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, signs like blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Loretta, for bringing it with the opening litany. And thanks so much, Liz, for bringing the fire with the reading of the scriptures today. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who comes in pillars of fire. Amen. So as we begin this time together, I just want to say thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be up at conference last weekend. It was a wonderful time where we gathered with Methodists from across the state, and it looked a little bit like Pentecost, frankly. All of the folks were together, from people all the way from the west side to the east side to the north side to the south side, and we got together for a wonderful time, and I'm very grateful for Reverend Tanya Arnetson, who was able to preach while Pastor Lindsay and I were gone last week, and I'm thankful to Bruce Stark, who helped lead worship down at our Whitmore Lake campus to help keep things together while we were away. Thanks so much for that gift of being able to be away in Traverse City. We had some wonderful decisions. There's going to be a report next week, actually, about some of the things that happened at annual conference this year to share some information with folks about how the church is moving and changing. But we're just grateful for that time away. And last week, Reverend Tanya Arnetson started this new sermon series about healing the divide. And I want to tell you, I've planned a lot of worship sermon series over the course of my life. I have never struggled as much as I did planning this particular sermon series with any other sermon series that I've planned in my life. And the weird thing is, this sermon series was actually adapted from some resources that we received from the Church of the Resurrection, which is in Kansas City, the largest United Methodist church in the country and maybe even in the world. And I received all these resources. I was like, this is great. It's awesome to have some materials, including our logo. If you look it up online, they used a different title for their sermon series. But this sermon series has been speaking to me for a long time. My conviction is that in our world today, there are so many divisions, so many ways in which people are divided, it's easy to demonize or sort of cast out other kinds of people as soon as they say a particular buzzword that we find ourselves not agreeing with, and we find ourselves at odds with all kinds of people for all different kinds of reasons because they say something or they do something or they believe something that might be a little bit different than what we believe. In this particular story, the church's journey begins with division. This is the birthday of the church. That's what Pentecost is all about. And almost 2,000 years ago, and I found myself really struck by the fact that we are rapidly approaching the church's 2,000th birth anniversary. 2,000 years ago, this story began where all of a sudden this pillar of fire grows up in the midst of the early church gathering, and people start speaking in all these different languages, and you know what? They're not hearing each other. Immediately, the church finds itself divided, and despite the fact that everybody's talking in their native tongues, nobody's able to really hear each other. They start using different words, perhaps describing the same thing. I imagine if a massive column of fire started, you know, bellowing in the middle of our sanctuary right here in the midst of everything that was going on, I would guess that all of our words would probably be related to this massive column of fire in the middle. And even if we were speaking in completely different languages and couldn't understand each other's words, we probably would be referencing the exact same thing going on. But if we don't listen to each other and we don't hear each other, there's no way we're going anywhere. One of my convictions about this moment when they start using different languages and they stop listening to each other and there's discord and confusion in the church is as soon as they started hearing these different words, I wonder if they lost a shared vision of each other as human beings, as children of God, as being created in the image and likeness of God, and they were able to other one another by pushing each other away without really listening to each other. Pentecost begins with division, and then all of a sudden there's this rush of sound, and it's like a violent rush of winds, tongues of fire, words in every language, and the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily erase people's differences, but begins to speak through it. Peter, in this moment of clairvoyance, gets up in front of everyone. He's like, I am going to interpret what's going on in the midst of this moment. And not to be arrogant, but I hope that this sermon is an attempt to do the same. Over the course of the last couple of years, my observation is that people have gotten increasingly gifted at creating a divide between themselves and others. There have been times, I confess to you myself, that I've noticed something that somebody has posted on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and I've instantly decided that that person is no longer a person that I want to associate with. Is that the call of the church? Is this what God encouraged us to do in our world today? As soon as we recognize that somebody might think differently or believe differently than we do, is this what we're called to do, to instantly sort of create a little bit of emotional or psychological or spiritual space between us and them? I wonder if we're in the midst of a season where we're really struggling to listen to one another. In the early 1990s in Nigeria, there was a city in Kaduna where there was violence that was ripping apart the community. There was a major tension and discord that was existing between Christians and Muslims, and the outbreaks of violence would oftentimes leave entire communities burned to the ground. Hundreds of people died in the midst of this conflict, all because Christians and Muslims were not getting along. There was a pastor at that time named James Wu. He was a Pentecostal Christian who had lost his own right hand in the midst of the conflict. And at the same time, there was an imam named Muhammad Ashafa, who was a Muslim cleric, who saw Christian militias as enemies. He too had lost two of his closest cousins, and his spiritual mentor had died because of the violence. At this particular time, they felt a calling on their life to end the divisions, and they decided it needed to start with themselves. They didn't necessarily decide that in order to end the violence, they had to convert everybody to their side. They didn't begin with an understanding that everybody in Nigeria eventually would believe all the exact same things that they did. But after a particularly violent clash, they were brought together by this shared desire that it was no longer advantageous for themselves or anybody else for this violence to persist. They decided that the cycle of violence and hatred was going to end with them. And you know, they did something. They sat with each other, and instead of trying to share their own disagreements, they just listened and they talked about their own pain. Pastor James heard the imam's pain, not just trying to share his own theology. Imam Ashafa heard of James's loss of his hand, not just his rage. And it was in the act of sharing their own personal testimonies of pain and separation and loss and grief that they finally found something that they could agree in. They were worse without each other. They were worse in the midst of this violence. They were worse because they were divided. They were more susceptible to this grief and loss, and they finally found common ground in acknowledging the fact that something was missing in their life. They found common ground in the fact that they had both lost things. I don't know about you, but on my Facebook feed, it oftentimes comes up with all of these reels, and I admit, I've been sucked in to watching one reel after another. Is anybody with me? Anybody sharing this unhealthy sort of toxic addiction? And it sort of figures us out psychologically, and it keeps feeding us what we want to see. And recently, I've been watching a lot of videos about how to heal broken relationships, perhaps in the midst of this sermon series, how to reconcile and how to listen better and how to get out of our own way. And there are all kinds of ways that we can make conflict and tension much worse. There are also some ways that we can heal it through active listening. I want to share some of the things that I've learned from Facebook with you. Maybe you'll find yourself in a spiral of doom scrolling as well. Some phrases that have been helpful in the midst of conflict conversations that I've been a part of might help you as well. A phrase like, "help me understand what you mean by that," is so much better than, "there's no way anybody could possibly believe that." It's amazing how inviting people to share honestly and deeply about the reality of their conditions, their thoughts, their feelings, has a way of building bridges instead of creating barriers. Imagine if politicians, instead of simply disagreeing with everything that their political adversaries said, engaged in conversations that began with, "help me understand why you think that way," giving people an opportunity to share their own personal stories. "Tell me more about that. That sounds important to you. How did that make you feel?" are all wonderful gifts. "I've never thought about it that way before. I'm listening. Go on. That sounds important to me, to you. Would you mind sharing more about that? I can see how that would be hard. What I hear you saying is," I'm here to tell you that if you don't know how to use these phrases, there are therapists and social workers who will help you through all of this. Incredible gifts to all of our relationship lives. There are also ways that our words can cause incredible amounts of damage. In the midst of our conflicts, there are ways in which we escalate the tensions in our relationships and with people in our community. There are words that we use that instantly create divides. When we start making assumptions about what other people mean when they say something, it's easy to continue to escalate the conflict. "I already know what you're going to say. You don't have to say that again." It's amazing how often we escalate conflict by assuming what somebody else's intentions, hopes, dreams, or expectations are. When we use buzzwords in the midst of our conversations, like saying somebody, "oh, that's, you're just a pro-life person. I know exactly all about you kinds of people. Oh, I understand you're a woke person. Oh, I understand you're advocating for DEI. Here we go again." When we use jargon or insider language or buzzwords, it instantly elevates the conflict instead of using words that invite more conversation. When we fail to match the person's tone or body language, when we talk to win instead of trying to understand, there are so many different ways that we escalate conflict and we create a larger divide in our society and in the relationships that we have with people that we care about. This story about Pentecost is an amazing one. It begins with discord in the church. On its birthday, a day that was supposed to be a celebration, people start speaking in different languages and they stop listening to each other. They stop creating an emotional safe place where they can share with one another. Peter gets up, he addresses the whole assembly, and he says, "Behold, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm observing. Trust me, it's going to be okay." And sure enough, Acts chapter 2 concludes with all of the believers being together in one place, holding everything in common. It begins with an argument and ends with a big old Methodist potluck dinner. That was the birth of the church. I don't know if it's just me that needs to hear this, so perhaps I'm just preaching to myself. But one of the things that I find most inspiring about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God created all things, all people, all creatures of our God and King. And we get together every once in a while, and it's beautiful. At annual conference, one of my favorite things about conference is multiple languages are spoken, because there are churches that speak exclusively in Spanish and Vietnamese and Korean. There are churches all across our connection. There's a French-speaking African diaspora church in Metro Detroit, which means people who left their home countries to natively speak French in Africa. I can't even name which countries those might be. And this church has over 100 people worshiping in Metro Detroit, and they speak exclusively French. And at annual conference, people start speaking in all these different languages. In our world, people speak different languages. And it's all a gift from God. And on the church's birthday, by the end of it, they all got together, and it says that they started sharing all their possessions with one another. Somehow, some way, they started listening to each other. They started creating space for one another. And by the end of the story of Pentecost, it says that they held all their possessions in common, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I really appreciate in the early days of the church that they were able to create space for people from all of these different countries that, Liz, neither you or I can read all the names of appropriately. You did great. You nailed it. Good job, Donna, for helping her. Here's my conviction, that God created Republicans and Democrats. God created rich people and poor people, conservatives and liberals. My conviction is that God created socialists and constitutionalists. My conviction is that God created young people and old people. My conviction is that God created Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostals and Catholics. And someday, we're all going to get together in one place. I can't wait for that day. I don't know about you, but my conviction as we move through this sermon series is that we're missing a part of ourselves when we demonize other people. That every single person who's born is created in the sacred image of God. And on the Pentecost Sunday, one of my favorite things about it is that it begins in conflict and it ends in a joyous celebration because they start listening to each other. So I want to ask you this question. Is there anybody in your life that you haven't been listening to? Not necessarily that you need to agree with everything that they say by the end of the conversation, but maybe there's something that they can offer you that you've been missing because you've simply blocked them out, you've canceled them, you've X'd them out of all of your social media communications, you've just left them behind. Maybe the beginning of healing the divide starts with each one of us looking into the eyes of people that we might not share all the same values with, the same beliefs with, the same understandings of, and looking them into the eye and recognizing that God created them just like God created us. I want to challenge all of us to listen, to ask good questions, to help all of us understand where each other come from. Not everyone is safe enough to have these kinds of conversations with. But who knows? Maybe we can heal some of the divide by listening instead of blocking out. And when we do, I believe that there's a huge Methodist potluck waiting for us. From the beginning of the Methodist movement, John Wesley had this phrase. He said, if your heart is like my heart, take my hand. And in the midst of that sermon, it's called On Catholic Spirit. It's one of my favorite sermons that Wesley ever preached. He said that there are big things and there are some smaller things. One of his big things that he talked about in that sermon is, do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? If yes, my hand is out there. All of the rest of it will take care of itself. I almost forgot one part. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? If your answer is yes, my hand is out there. One of the things that I love about the Methodist Church is we don't ask people to sign off on a doctrinal statement. We ask new members when they join, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and put your whole trust in his grace? If so, say I do, and people say I do, and will you pledge to support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say I do, and then you're in. That's it. We don't ask people for their voting records. We don't ask people to know which television cable news they watch. We don't ask people to determine what their giving history is to church. We ask those two questions. Why? Because I believe John Wesley's hand is still sticking out there. If your heart is like my heart, take my hand. As we move forward into the future, it's my prayer that we can continue to be a church that heals the divide, that stands in the gap, that continues to welcome people of all different backgrounds and socioeconomic statuses and education histories and everything else. It's my prayer that we continue to have our hand out, even when we don't agree on things that we think are really important, as long as we agree on one thing that is most important. God is with us. God loves us. And there's nothing that we can ever do to change that. Happy birthday, church. As we come into 2 millennia, may we celebrate with all of the people of God, regardless of our stories and our differences. We are one in Christ, one in union with each other. Thanks be to God for that gift. Amen.
Turn. said. Thank you, choir. That was absolutely wonderful. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. I want to call your attention right now to a couple of beautiful prayer quilts we have hanging today. They're for Scott and Amy. On your way out of the church, please stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let Scott and Amy know that we are not only wrapping them in the warmth of the quilt, but in the warmth of our love and our prayers. Now join me in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and glorious God, we come before you this morning humble, but anxious and eager to learn all the things that you have in store for us at this time. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things we have coming into our lives through you. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched by no other, to give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. Slow us down, Lord, so that we may open our ears to that small voice that we miss so many times rushing around in our day-to-day lives. We listen for your word, that we may share that word with others and be with them at their time of need. We open our eyes that we may see all the wonders of the universe that you have created for us, that we may experience all that life has to offer and all that you have to give, especially as we enjoy the seasons changing. We open our hearts that we may be there for others that are in need of your love and to do your work so that they may feel your love through us and know that you are there. We pray for our prayer quilt recipients, Scott and Amy, and we pray that they feel the warmth of the quilt, the warmth of our love, the warmth of our prayers. And we ask prayers that they be given the strength that they need to be able to face the challenges ahead. Lord, we ask blessings on all those in need of you at this time, those suffering from physical ailments, mental disorders, financial problems, relationship problems, and those that are just out there looking, seeking, wondering, waiting, not sure what their next step might be, not sure where they are headed, and not sure which way to turn. We want to guide them that the next step that they take may be blessed by you and to a life full of your blessings. We also ask prayers for the people that need you the most, those that don't know yet that they need you. Help us help them find your way, to know your love, and to know that you are with us every step of the way, to know that even when things seem at their worst, we can turn to you and know that you are there. We pray for our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, the national, state, and local leaders, that the decisions they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear so that the decisions they make today may be the best for all of us. Bless us, Lord, that we may find the best that you have in store for us, and that we can turn that around and do the best that we can to honor and to praise you, to love those around us as you show love for us. Help us to show that love to others, working together to make this world whole and to honor you as we do. Now in this time of silent meditation and prayer, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and ask your blessings on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples asked Jesus, "How should we pray?" He said, "Pray like this," and now we repeat that prayer he taught the disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
Thanks so much, Bruce, for leading us in prayer. Now we've come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to respond to all the good things that God has done in our midst. And one of the ways that we do that is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Our ushers are going to be coming forward to receive that. As they do that, I want to take a moment to share with you just an update on our capital campaign and some of the work that we did together over the last couple of weeks through the Building Together campaign. Some folks may have received a mailing a couple weeks ago asking people to return a card, just letting us know where they might be able to assist us in the giving to accomplish some of the projects that we have around the church. I'm very grateful to be able to share with you that we've received a number of those cards back, and the total amount that folks have submitted to giving over the next couple of years is over $64,000, and so we celebrate that. You may have heard in the midst of our presentation that we already started the campaign with over $400,000 in the bank to begin some of those projects. So just recently, our leadership board authorized our building management team to do a couple of projects already. I'm here to tell you that as we speak, Whitmore Lake has received the air conditioning units that they have so desperately desired, which is awesome. I stopped by the church just two days ago, I guess it was Friday, just to take a look at it. They were putting some of the finishing touches on those air conditioning units so that they could be operational this summer. And so we celebrate that as Whitmore Lake worships in the midst of the summer. I pray that they are comforted by that air conditioning that actually is running in the sanctuary right now, which we're thankful for. In addition to that, the leadership board also authorized our building management team to sign a contract with a group, Flynn Paving, who's going to be resurfacing the entire parking lot here at the Brighton campus. So at some point this summer, we're going to get ultra creative about how we come to worship. We really pray that it'll start on a Monday and end on a Friday, but we don't know exactly. You know, we men plan and God laughs, right? You know, we'll see how that all comes together. But we're grateful for the resources that we have. I also want to say a big thank you to Matt Reister and a couple of volunteers who have agreed to help us redo the well roof. And so a couple of us in 2 weeks are going to be out there ripping shingles off together. And I can't thank you enough for those who have volunteered to be a part of that. We certainly could use more help if anybody's interested in being up on a roof in the June heat. It'll help. Thank you. Thank God for that air conditioning that we have here in the sanctuary. We are moving. God's moving in our midst. And I just wanted to share, if you are interested and able in sharing one of those cards with us to let us know how you might be able to support the campaign over the next 3 years, we invite you and encourage you to do that. It just helps us plan how we can accomplish some of these projects together over the next couple of years. Thank you to those of you who have turned that in. Other folks who have said to me, "I forgot it. It's on our table for the last 3 weeks." And I'm like, yep, I can relate to that. I've been there before. Good intentions I've had to turn stuff in. But if you're able to do that, there are cards in the back. If you want to take one of those and fill it out and put it inside the offering plate, we receive that as a huge gift to help us do some of this work that we have together. Fortunately, through the diligent work of some of our folks on the building management team, we've just continued to reduce the cost of some of these projects by getting as many bids and quotes as possible. We feel like we're in a really good position to be able to get a lot of this work done. So thank you for that. The last project that we've authorized is the repaving of the Parsonage driveway. And over the last couple of years, our driveway's sunk a little bit. And so some of the kids in the neighborhood who come over, they sort of use that. We are one of the few houses in our neighborhood that are up on a hill. So our driveway is one of the most popular spots to ride up to the top of the hill if you're a kid on a bike in our neighborhood, and then take that down. But there's this little lip at the bottom that can cause kids to go head over handlebars. And so I'm thankful that that's going to be repaired and replaced. And I want to conclude this time by inviting up somebody really special to this church. This morning we have the gift and the opportunity to hear from the Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis, who is going to be coming forward. She's now on staff with the United Methodist Foundation, at least for a couple more weeks. She is retiring at the end of this month. God bless you, Sherry. But Sherry was the senior pastor here before Pastor Lindsay and I came to be with you in the midst of this church. And so we are so thrilled to have Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis back from the United Methodist Foundation for a presentation on behalf of the United Methodist Foundation. Please welcome her as she comes back here to the church.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Appreciate you being here.
I'm just looking around for faces I know. Oh, I see some waving. That's good. It is a pleasure to be back with you. I come first as a staff member of the United Methodist Foundation to offer an award. Now, generally, I would bring a publisher's clearinghouse check, but quite honestly, you've already spent the money. So, but I wanted to let you know, Pastor John, that I dropped the check in the offering. So you'll have that. So every year, the foundation gives away 4 grants to churches in the state of Michigan for compelling stewardship practices. The award is called the Wayne C. Barrett Steward Leader Award, and churches are recognized, including this congregation, for good stewardship, not only for exceptional giving, but also financial care, being open and transparent, having good financial controls and plans for collaborative planning, connecting finances to vision. And in addition, it comes to churches that support the greater United Methodist Church through their ministry shares. And so we granted this church $2,500, and the money has been used to buy the sound equipment for outdoor worship at the Whitmore Lake campus. So this morning, I had the opportunity to actually speak into a mic that was purchased through that award. So that was very fun, very exciting. And congratulations on receiving that recognition. The second thing I do is I come on behalf of myself and George to say thank you. I know that when we left in 2020, the pews were empty. So it was a difficult time to leave. But we left with much thanks and praise for you here. I served for 12 years, and you prepared me for retirement. I'm not done. Okay, some of you more than others. I'm not talking about the gray hair, but and the wrinkles that have come. But I'm talking about just having this great feeling about being in ministry, about loving and being loved, about blessing and being blessed. And so I want to thank you so much for inviting me into some of the most difficult and wonderful times of your lives, and being there with me in some of the most difficult and wonderful times in my life as well. My mom, who many of you may have met, passed away in March, and I am so thankful for those who offered words of kindness and comfort and were present in prayer during that difficult time. This congregation has set me with confidence for the financial work that I've done with the foundation, and has set me with the confidence that ministry is a place where you can make a difference in people's lives, and I am so, so thankful. I am thankful for the people I know, and I am thankful for the people I don't know here. Whenever I look at social media posts, I love when I see people I have no idea who you are. I love that. because it means that this church is alive. I give thanks for the baptisms. I give thanks for the new members. I give thanks for all of you and the ministries, not only the ministries that continue with which I'm familiar, but the new ministries that are you are in to bring justice and peace to this world and to change this world and to lift God's people up. We, George and I, my husband, are so excited about this capital campaign. What better way can you launch ministry than in a way that is deliberately toward safety and accessibility and hospitality? I just say as a side note, John will appreciate this, in the Parsonage driveway going down the hill on the right-hand side, roots have heaved the driveway a little bit. You know where I'm talking? I have flown onto the ground from there. I went down in the dark to get the mail and just flew over that and fell. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm so glad it's dark because this is embarrassing. It will be nice to have that all smoothed out. What a great thing to do to launch ministry. And so I want to let you know that George and I have made an initial gift to that capital campaign, and we will not forget you. We will continue to give to that, because we are committed to this church continuing in its ministry in powerful ways. Again, I want to thank you so much for all that you are and all that you have been. And George and I are praying for you and for this ministry, that God will continue to strengthen it and you will continue to change lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, God, you gift us with generous spiritual and financial gifts. You guide us to use them for your service in this life. Help us to see the opportunities where you would have us serve and learn and grow in giving of our financial resources, our time, and of our talents. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, as we close this time of worship together, I pray that you will go out and continue to be the church that God has called you to be. For 2,000 years, we have made our way through the wilderness. We have continued to transform people's lives, one act of love and service at a time. We've never been perfect. None of us are. We're made up of people, and that is the beauty of it. We go on to perfection, one decision at a time, one act of listening at a time, one act of caring and sharing at a time. I encourage you as you go out into the fellowship time to have an opportunity to greet Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis. We're so grateful to have you back with us. Thank you for being here.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.